Welcome to the latest episode of Vanguardia America. I'm your host, James Garcia. On the show today is Richard Ochoa, owner and executive president of Motorsport Showcase Events. Motorsport Showcase is presenting a car show this weekend in Superior, Arizona, not too far from Phoenix. And Richard has more than 40 years of experience working in this world. Low riding and low rider cars, of course, was created by car enthusiasts who customized their vehicles with Chicano art and culture and style back in the day. The show this weekend is called the Joe Castaneda Memorial Car Show, and we'll talk about why that is. And some of the proceeds will go to the Superior High School Scholarship Program. Richard, thank you so much for being on.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So
I
let's start
appreciate
right
that.
away with the show in Superior. First of all, who was Joe Castaneda and why was it named after him?
Joe Castaneda was actually a member of Society Car Club. Back in the day, we used to have a Superior chapter, and Joe headed that chapter.
What is the Society
The
Club?
name of the car club is called Society Car Club. I established that club in 1980. The club's focus at that time in 1980 were had just barely gotten married or had new families. And with the lowrider scene, a lot of the times back in the 70s and 80s, it was, singular. I mean, it was the guys meeting the girls meeting the guys. This is kind of the next step after the guys and girls meet up and start having families. So my car club became family centric. It was family first. We did things a lot together as new couples. A lot of us had new children. And so there was kind of it was a natural step for us. Now the club, you're 43 years later, I have had my sons enter the club. My son Anthony is in the club, and my grandson Anthony Jr. is in the club. And we have similar profiles throughout the organization on other members that have their extended family in the club as well.
And does the club have members all over the country, all over the world?
It's basically based out of Arizona. We have certain guidelines, rules. The organization is what I consider a legitimate hobbyist organization. The one thing that we do maintain is that we stay connected to the community. The club is known for doing annual toy drives, give back to the community. Case in point, we've been doing a toy drive for the last 10 years. Every year, we give out toys to families in Mesa, my hometown of Superior, and we also give some toys to an organization in the town of Guadalupe.
So it's a philanthropic group as well, almost like a Chicano Rotary, I guess, a
There
little
you go. There you go. That's a good way of looking at it. But with cars, right?
With cars, yeah, no,
Yeah,
that's the part I
yeah.
love. And now Superior, how long have you been doing the show in Superior?
Joe Castaneda actually started that tradition in Superior over 20, 22, 23 years ago. He started off working with the fiestas. They had the 15th and 16th of September fiestas there every year. And it was tradition, and they wanted to add an element to attract more people to go to Superior for the fiestas. So Joe said, "Hey man, let's put together a little car show." The first year, Joe had about 20 cars show up. Unfortunately, we lost Joe about I want to say 7 years ago. But we've continued on his legacy of doing this car show.
How big is the show now? Like, how many people come? How many cars are there?
Last year, we had close to 400 entries. The population of Superior is about 1,800 people. And we had over 5,000 people there in town.
Wow, that's amazing. So it more than almost triples the population of the city. Well,
Yes, yes,
yeah, that's
yes, yes.
fantastic. And do people bring cars from all over the state? Where do the cars come from?
We get cars from Tucson, Phoenix, all the surrounding cities, including the small mining towns. Everywhere where there's actually a lowrider car club, we usually get participation. We've also have clubs this year coming in from Las Vegas, Nevada. We have Tiempo Car Club. They're a regular at the show every year, and they're a regular because their founding members actually are from Superior. They
Wow.
relocated to Nevada and to Las Vegas, but they still come. It's kind of hard to leave Superior once you're a Superiorite, kind of forever.
400 people coming from all over the state is a successful event if you get like something like 5,000 people in there. What accounts do you think for the continuing popularity and love of these kinds of car shows, particularly the car shows that are inspired by the Chicano culture?
Well, I think it was through this particular show, it's kind of grassroots. The show in itself is like a show and shine. The cars are great, but the shows are not really the center of attention. It's just a network. It's kind of like a convention. This is our Chicano convention, our lowrider convention. The car clubs come in. We have cl larger clubs and smaller clubs, and a lot of independents that just come and partake and be part of the celebration for the day. The lowrider movement has very deep roots in Arizona. The very first car club, the very first lowrider car club recorded in the nation was the Duke's Car Club out of 38th Street in East LA. That was 1962.
Were they souping up the cars then too? I mean, were they
They
painting the cars
were
painting?
considered the first generation lowriders. And
Okay.
the Ruelas brothers, Julio and Fernando, they ran that club. They first designed the concept of the bombs being the old, 30s and 40s era vehicles.
Yeah, I was going to ask you
They would
what
lower
kind of
them.
vehicles were they fixing up at that time? Yeah.
Right. They were lowering them and customizing them to their likes and needs. They were giving it that first lowrider flair. They were the first club that really came up with the concepts of small tires. And that small tires were only there because the fact that if you a bigger tire, you couldn't fit it under the fender, under the wheel well. So that's
Okay.
why they had to go with a small
So
tire system.
it was a practical
It
style
was a
thing, yeah.
practical, yeah.
Well, it was the whole scene in the early days inspired by the 50s, like in 40s and 50s Chicano, I mean Pachuco movement.
Actually, the roots, this is another story in itself, but the
Yeah.
roots for low riding come from the 40s. After World War II, a lot of the Chicano that came out of the service, they came back to the country, try to get it back into society here. A
The
lot
whole
of
Pachuco scene, right? The Pachuco scene.
the Pachuco scene. The Pachuco scene, if you look into that, were the forefathers of lowriders.
And the style and the attitude
Well,
and
the Pachucos were the first ones to actually customize their cars to give it to that Pachuco look. And of course, I'm sure you know the term Pachuco, where it comes from.
no, I'm a bad Chicano. I should know the origin of that word.
Well, Pachuco originally started from guys that were doing those customizing vehicles in El Paso, Texas. If you're a Tejano, you should know, or maybe you don't,
I should
that
know
El
that.
Paso, Texas has a nickname. They call it Chuco.
Oh, I see. That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Now, I never lived there, but yeah. But El
Yes.
Paso, like I grew up kind of in Laredo.
Yeah.
El Paso is a hell of a long way from
It
Laredo.
is. It is.
People don't
I know. I
realize that.
understand. It's
So,
the West.
but now that you mentioned, I remember that term.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
So
cool.
Pachuco,
Yeah.
right? From El Paso
El Paso.
and to El Paso. And those guys, when they came out of the army, they started doing their thing, and then they kind of migrated. They worked their way through the Southwest. They went through to Tucson, Phoenix, LA, and then up to San Jose. And right now, the major hubs for the lowrider industry right now are San Jose, California, LA, California. Phoenix is a great hub, and also El Paso has always been there for in lowriding.
Okay,
But
that's great.
again, I have to say that not that the Pachuco is a lowrider, but the lowrider scene kind of came
Like all
to
these
the
things,
era.
like if you follow the origins of jazz, or if you follow the origins of rock or whatever, there's a line, right, that
Right.
connects these things, but then they evolve into their own
Correct.
vibe
Yes.
and so forth. Talk a little bit about kind of the persisting popularity of it. It's not just in the Chicano community. It's not just in the Mexican American or Latino community. There are people outside of the community who just dig this scene and fix their cars up like this. And I've heard recently, not too long ago, that people will come from Japan with lots of money, and they'll find a car and they'll ship it back, and that the
They
scene has
will.
spread to Japan. Just tell me about the global interest in this.
Well, the global interest kind of started back in I would say maybe the early 90s. In fact, I know a couple of gentlemen that actually were Chicanos building cars in East LA. A friend of mine is, I don't know if he's around anymore. His name is Chino, from LA.
There's a lots of Chinos in the
There's
Valley,
a lot of
by the way, a
Chinos
lot of
in LA.
Chinos.
Yeah, but this one was a particular great builder. He built some really nice Impalas, and what he did was he was doing an auto show or car show. And there was a few folks from Japan there, and these guys basically were mesmerized by the lowrider look because they had never seen it before.
When was this?
This was in the early 90s,
Early
early
90s.
90s.
Okay. Yeah.
So what happened was they really liked the look enough to the point where they offered Chino to buy the car, and they started continuing buying lowriders that he built and shipping them to Japan.
Amazing. Somebody told me it can cost like $60,000 just to ship the car.
You know what? I don't know what the numbers are, but yes, it's not a
It's not
cheap
cheap. It's not.
it's not cheap to do that. So what Chino was doing was he created a good relationship with the Japanese, and also at the same time, Lowrider Magazine was going in full force, and a few folks from Japan connected with then Alberto Lopez, the publisher of Lowrider Magazine, and they even started a Lowrider Magazine Tokyo edition.
Wow.
Lowrider Magazine had a Japanese publication for about 3 or 4 years.
Has the lowrider movement, the cars, is it pretty embedded now in Japanese culture or
It is.
in
It is.
Japan? I mean, like,
We
do they have big shows there and stuff
they
too?
have a few big shows. Not like it was very big in the 90s, in the late 90s, early 2000s, but then kind of, like everything else, there were cycles that came through and it's died itself out. But just this year, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm the tour director for Lowrider Magazine currently right now.
I think I
And
saw that on your website. I think I saw you mention
so what
that.
I do is
I
we
want to
do
talk
shows
about
all
that.
over the country. Right now this year we have a 10 city tour. Last year we had another 9 city tour. It
What are you
was
touring? I mean, when you say you have a 10-city tour, is it you're touring shows like the one you're doing in Superior or what?
yes, no, Superior is kind of like a special event for us.
Okay.
It's a car club event and I'm sponsoring it, motorsports, but I also got Lowrider involved with it. They'll be there in Superior also too.
Gotcha.
But by tour, we started off our tour this year in Phoenix, Arizona at the Phoenix Convention Center in February. We did a show there. And then a few weeks later, we moved to the Long Beach Convention Center. And then we've done the San Antonio Convention Center. Oh, excuse me. In San Antonio, we did the Freeman Expo Hall. And then coming up next, we have Tampa, Florida. We also have Louisville, Kentucky. We have Salt Lake City. We have Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay. And these are full-blown car shows.
These are full-blown super shows.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
But you're doing this in conjunction with or on behalf of Lowrider Magazine?
Yes, as a tour director, what I do is I facilitate. We have promoters that basically come and they purchase the licenses agreement to utilize the Lowrider brand, but we also have standards with that. We have Lowrider Magazine judges, so we'll judge all these shows. And then we have a circuit, so they actually can qualify at one of the tour stops. And then at the end of the year, we have a grand finale show in Las Vegas, Nevada, October the 5th this year at the Las Vegas Convention Center. And that'll be the grand finale show that it's the granddaddy of them all.
Now, the shows that you're touring, like in Tampa and San Antonio and so forth, how big are these shows? Like, how many cars come out for those?
These smaller tour stops can vary between 350 to 450 cars.
Okay.
Sometimes, we just did a show in Long Beach, California that we had about 600 entries. So the variance is in regards to the size of the market.
Okay. And the Vegas one, how many do you think
The
you're
vehicle, the Vegas, our count in Vegas is about 850 exhibitors.
Wow, that takes so you're probably doing it in the convention center, right? I mean, you need a
Yes, we
big
do it in the
place.
Las Vegas Convention Center. We use every square foot of space they have. We also bring in all day entertainment. This year we had some national performing artists. I don't know if you know who Zapp is. Yeah, so we had Zapp, DJ Quick, and a few other opening artists. We also have what's really popular with the younger guys is the car hop. So we have a gentleman, Frank Castillo, out of here in Phoenix, Arizona. He has Frank's Custom Hydraulics. He actually will produce the Super Hop in Las Vegas right after the Super Show is over.
So this is a competition, right?
It's
Where
a
people are,
competition. The car hop is the competition.
that
Yes.
where people for the audience, people are
Yes.
bouncing their cars and
Correct. Yes.
yeah, that's fantastic. I love that stuff. Let me ask real quick, not to be indelicate, but do a lot of white people like this scene too?
Oh yeah, you know what?
I mean, how
It
does it break
Lowrider is
down?
good.
Like when you have your shows like in Vegas, are half the people show up like white people or not
Yes, we
Latinos?
have a. It's a melting pot. It's a melting
Yeah.
pot. A lot of Lowrider friends that I know and car club members are white, brown.
All colors.
We have the entire spectrum, and we also have car clubs within globally as well too. I mean, there's a few clubs such as the Majestics, such as Rollers Only, such as Uso Car Clubs that have over 30 chapters worldwide. And I'm talking about chapters in France, chapters in Germany, chapters in other countries that you won't necessarily connect with lowriding.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. So I could end up in Munich or Berlin and maybe see a Carucha there,
You
like
could.
a
You
really
could.
nice.
We just did it. We just did a feature. Lowrider Magazine, we just did a feature with a gentleman that had a 64 Impala in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, wow.
And those cars are illegal over there.
They're
He
legal.
literally
So
has
how does he
to.
have, wait, how does he have the car?
He has that. I'm not going to get into that, but he has
Escondido
that
somewhere, like
car
with a cover?
garaged And he will pull it out once in a blue moon, basically take the back streets or however that works. But
That's
he
amazing.
advises that the government's not too keen on those cars over there. I mean, you have to have the resources to be able to afford that car to be taken over there, and he does.
Oh, so did he get the car somewhere like here in the States and
He
take it
bought it
over?
here in the US and then had it shipped over there.
Like I say, you gotta have a chunk of cash for that. If there is a kind of an enduring part of the culture, of the style, of the look of the art, speaking of a kind of a local connection, I saw the vehicle that was designed for the Suns. That's the name of the vehicle.
That's a 1957 convertible Bel Air. It was built by the Phoenix Suns, and I give 100% props to the Phoenix Suns organization for taking the chance on profiling a lowrider for the NBA
For once, we're profiled in a good way. I like
in a good way. In a good way.
that.
And you know what? That
But
car's
the
received a lot of attention. It's received the national attention.
and like I was saying though, that paint job, the whole thing,
Right.
it's a sculpture.
It is.
It's
The
a
gentleman that painted the vehicle,
visual art.
his name is Efren Bugs Gonzalez. Efren is from Mesa, Arizona. Efren started it. He cut his teeth low riding in the car club that I founded. He moved on, of course, and being a businessman, he has to go where business is at. So now he's one of the most well-respected painters and pinstripers in the country right now for in the lowrider industry.
The thing about that car is there was a similar kind of incident. I don't know if you remember back when 2010 when they passed SB 1070 and it was like the state senator was trying to run Latinos out of Arizona at the time. The Suns, to their credit, had like a whole thing where they called themselves Los Suns, right? To
Right.
show their
Right.
empathy and connection to the Latino community.
Right.
And because they saw the writing on the wall and they cared about their fans. And in some ways, this is kind of an extension of that, right? It's like paying
It
respect
is.
to
It is.
Latino
I
culture.
was very fortunate to be contacted by the Phoenix Suns organization at the beginning of this. They contacted me because, first of all, being kind of at least having a profile for the lowrider community here in Arizona,
You're
I
probably the
also.
godfather. Come on, you're the godfather
No,
of the lowrider
but I
community
also,
here.
working for Lowrider Magazine, there was a national connection there too. So they contacted me. The marketing department gave me the concept. They gave me a sneak peek of the vehicle that they were potentially going to buy.
Where
They're
would
going
they
to,
find that vehicle? Just out of curiosity.
they actually bought the car back east, and then they gave it to Efren, and Efren did his thing.
He seems to be a master of it.
Yes.
Before we go, I want to talk about Lowrider Magazine. You've had a long connection. Tell me about your connection to the magazine and tell me about how that magazine is doing in terms of its audience these days.
Well, you know what? Lowrider Magazine has had a very interesting ride, so to speak. In 1977, Sonny Madrid created this publication to just put out a newsletter for the Chicano community, in San Jose, California. And it started from that. And then all of a sudden, it kind of kicked off because, you were advertising events and even parties and things of that nature. But when he added the car component by putting a couple of pictures of some lowriders,
And some sexy girls, or no?
Well, the girls
Didn't
came
interest
too, but
you.
anyway, he
I
added that.
envision, every like true, authentic low rider. They met their wife because she was lying on the hood of their car. You know, it's just like right in that sexy outfit. Because that's how I remember the early
There
magazines.
you go. Yeah, and that's true. That's very true.
But anyway, you were saying.
But anyway, Sonny went ahead and as soon as he kind of noticed that the cars were making that magazine do better for him, he concentrated his efforts on the cars. And I guess the
So he
girls.
started it as a newsletter, but it wasn't necessarily going to be
Was a
about cars.
community outreach newsletter publication, and but it was focused around the Chicano, so that took off. He ran it for quite a few years. It expanded from San Jose down to LA, down to basically a lot of the California market. It expanded to Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and it was doing well in the southwest part of the country. What happened is eventually, unfortunately, things did not work out well for Sonny business-wise. So the magazine went under. It went under in the mid-80s. A gentleman that used to work for the publication went ahead and acquired it through bankruptcy court.
Who was
Okay.
that?
His name is Alberto Lopez.
Okay, so he
And
acquired
Alberto Lopez became the new owner of Lowrider. And what Alberto did is he had a vision, and his vision was to globalize Lowrider magazine. And he did that
All
in
right.
so many different ways. Not only did the magazine become global before the internet was around, but it became a coffee table thing on almost every lowrider or Chicano's living room. And that was a monthly issue. I remember waiting for at the store for that magazine to be dropped off so I can get my lowrider magazine and see the new trends, the new styles, who's who, the baddest rides out there at the time. I lived for that at the
And
time,
who
being
owns
young
it
man.
now?
Right now, Lowrider is owned by a company called Motor Trend, which
Yeah,
is an automotive publication, or is the automotive publication itself. But Motor Trend is owned by Discovery, and Discovery is owned by Warner Brothers.
Okay.
So the parent
But
company
Warner
is Warner
Brothers is
Brothers.
owned by God, right? And Warner, no.
That's right.
Do you think that the magazine still has the spirit that it had kind of at its peak of popularity? Do people
Well,
still, when they open it, are they still feeling the culture?
it's like everything else, but the biggest change has been the most dramatic change was the fact that Lowrider went out of print about 5 years ago. They stopped printing. It wasn't cost effective to print. Just like if you go, do you see a big presence of magazines at the grocery stores anymore like you used to?
So it's
Lowrider's
still out
owned
of
by
print.
Warner
Like
Brothers.
they don't print it anymore
They
now.
don't print it anymore.
Okay, it's only
Well,
the
what's
digital.
happened is we've adapted to that by what we have now on social media.
Okay.
We used to sell, at its heyday, Lowrider's magazine was selling 200,000 issues a month, right?
That's
Right
good.
now, we have close to 6 million viewers in that same time space through social media networks.
Okay.
So I mean, there's much more horsepower to it. It's just learning how to capture it.
It's a new medium, you know, it's a new medium. I came from the print world. That's where I started my news career. There's some things I lament about it dying off, but you know, it's just like the technology is online. It's a natural sort of evolution,
It
and
is, it is, it is.
they had to go through it too, right?
Yeah, I mean, even back in the day when I said Lowrider was globalized by Alberto Lopez, he was very smart at that because back then, we had servicemen around the world, stationed around the world, right? And a lot of those servicemen, as you know, are Chicano or Latino. What Alberto decided to do is extend that, try to give these Chicanos a little piece of their home by sending Lowrider magazines overseas to these stations where servicemen were stationed. From that point right there, it just kind of just blossomed out.
I'm sure it made a
It
difference. You know, I'm sure it made a difference in their lives
did.
and reconnected them with their communities in at a
It
really
did.
vital time. Let me close out by asking you this. The scene now, it sounds like it's as strong as ever, maybe stronger than ever. Is that fair to say? Just the
Yes, it
whole.
is fair to say. Yes. It's stronger, but it's a little different. But I think everything has changed. I mean, nobody is without a cell phone. Nobody is without their media. If you have a cell phone in your pocket, you got a Lowrider magazine in your pocket.
That's a good way of putting it. But you know, now, and I'll leave you with this idea, and I'm going to share this with you, and you can take it and run with it if you want. Or if you want. There's this trend, you know, about the what do they call them? The virtual glasses. I forget the
Oh
technology.
yeah, I
These
know
things you
what
put
you're
on,
talking
right?
about.
And so there's an organization here, a nonprofit organization, that uses these, and they go to places where people with disabilities are who can't leave the place where they are because maybe they're physically like unable to. And they bring these things and they show the group there plays and dance shows and concerts on these things, right? That they can't physically get to. But because it's this virtual reality thing, you know, it's extremely realistic for them. So that I think is the next phase for the lowrider movement. You got to find some way to incorporate those glasses into like being in a car, maybe being in a lowrider or bouncing in it
That's
or
a great
something. You know,
idea. I
find
love that
some
idea.
way
Good
to
concept.
recreate that experience so that they can get
And
there.
I don't know if we're pressed for time here, but a while back we did a promo for a car show that I produced here at the casino here in Arizona. And the newscaster that was doing a promo for the event, we had Frank Castillo had his car hopper. Basically, his car hopper, that car will fly into the air. And he asked her, "Hey, do you want to go in the car to get a bird's eye view? And we'll put a camera in there." And they put the camera in there. And I mean, this poor woman did not know what she was getting herself into.
You mean the reporter?
The reporter. And it was like a ride at Disneyland for her. All you see is the front hood going from the floor all the way to the sky, so
She must have been scared to death. Well, Richard, it's been fantastic talking to you, talking about your show coming up. I want to thank you so much for being on the show, talking to me about the whole scene and not just your event that you have coming up. And I hope to meet in person someday. Yeah, thank you for being on Vanguardia America.
You got it. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us today. You're listening to Vanguardia America.